Let's go ahead and turn with me to the book of the Revelation. Book of the Revelation. Thank you, Brother Nichols, for asking me to preach. I respect the pulpit of a man that pastors a church because I know he'll have to give an account for who he allows and what he allows to be preached here. So you bear with me, and if I say anything wrong, you just yell out, "You're wrong." Amen. So, Revelation chapter 3, if you will. Start with verse 14. I'll not ask you to stand. You'll stand here in a little bit. Verse 14 says, "And unto the angel of the church at Laodicea write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot." We got a lot of folks in that position today. "Neither cold nor hot, and I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, I am rich, increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not." We got a lot of folks there too. "And knowest not that thou art neither wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mightest be rich, and white raiment that thou mightest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh, I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in this throne, in his throne. And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." When I got saved, our church, well, the church that I joined and was baptized in and pastor now, by the way, had just split over the book of the Revelation. We were, at that time, a denomination that did not believe in the rapture, did not believe in the second coming. They were all millennial, and it had split. Well, I didn't know anything about it. My wife, we'd been married about 5 years. She went to that church, and she never said anything about a split. I would take her down some Sunday mornings, and I'd see the parking lot was just full. Well, then I went down one Sunday morning, and there wasn't hardly anybody there. I thought, what happened? She never did say anything about a split or problems in the church. Well, in order to date her, her mother said, "You'll have to go to church with her." So one Sunday morning, I went to church with her, and I was sitting there, and I don't know if I'm going to mention a name. You may not know who he was. Brother Bates Pennycuff. Anybody know him? Randall, a couple of them do. Bates was about 6'4", 6'5", weighed 325 pounds. I mean, he was a big man. He preached the word of God, convicted my heart, and he pointed during the invitation, and I knew that finger touched my nose. I was lost and undone and dying and going to hell, and he told me so. Well, my little wife was there, and she got out in the aisle and went down to talk to him. I thought, what's she doing? And all she had to say was, "Brother Bates." And he took off down the aisle, and he come to me, and he said, "Ron, I never do this." And I was already under conviction, hit the aisle, hit the altar, and got saved. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I believe that if she had told me that there was trouble in the church, and I was 25, 26 when I got saved, I don't think I'd have went to church anymore. I could have used that for an excuse as a stumbling block. But she didn't. And I'm thankful that she didn't, because ever since 1972, I've been saved and on my way to heaven. Amen? I've not lost it. I'm not going to lose it. Because it's finished. Amen? I received him and I know where I'm going. Amen? In this scripture that we just read, I just want to pick one portion of the verse out. And just, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." I want to ask you a question this afternoon. Do you hear somebody knocking? I believe that, you know, and I do too. I'm not saying anything against any preachers. We spend so much time on talking about the coming of the Lord and the signs of the time. And I believe that the scriptures gives us signs of the time. And as we look in the world today, I believe that it's getting close. I was privileged last week. I hadn't been on vacation for 3 or 4 years. And I needed to get away. I lost my wife almost a couple of years ago. And we had planned on going on vacation. And she got sick. And we didn't make it. So I thought, well, I need to get away. I didn't want to go by myself. So I got a 14-year-old great-granddaughter that my wife and I watched. Sister Cole knows her. And how that for years we watched her on and off. And she grew up in my home. She's been saved. She'd been baptized. I had the privilege of baptizing her. So I said, I talked to her mom and I said, "Will you let Bailey go with me?" And she's very mature for her age. We went to Gatlinburg. May I say this? I'll probably not go back. From the last time I was there to this time I was here, it has changed a lot. There was no moonshine stills there years ago. They're selling it in town now. I mean, to tell you, I looked at the people and I thought, boy, if this is not a sign of the time of the coming of the Lord, nothing is. I'm not trying to get off on running a rabbit or anything, but I seen folks with more tattoos on their face than I had to see them on their arms. I thought, man, what's happened to people? Well, you read the scriptures and you know. Yes. Towards the end of the times that we're living in, sin's going to run rapid. And I believe that's where we're at. So I believe that not only should we look for the signs and listen to the sounds, but we need to listen for the knock on the door. I really believe that we're that close. In book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I want us to look at verse 13, very familiar scriptures to start with. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope." Now, who are the others? Well, first of all, they're the heathen. Amen. Those that are lost and undone, don't know Christ as their personal Savior. So he's talking to them, even as others which have no hope. "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself..." Now I like that. He's not going to send an angel, which would be fine. He's not going to send another emissary, which would be fine. But he says, "For the Lord himself." I'm glad he loved me that much. Amen. Not only that he died for me, but he's coming back after me himself. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." I don't know when I'm going to die. I've told my church, I said, don't you cry when I die. Because by the time they get to my body, I'll already be shouting in heaven. Amen. And by the way, I got an extra incentive now to go. My wife's already there. Amen. Not only my mom and dad, my brother, my grandma and all them, but my wife's there. Amen. So I got an extra incentive to go. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up in together with them in the clouds. Think about this. I've said this over the years. I just wonder. Now, you may think I'm crazy or strange, and that's all right. I wonder if the rapture took place when the church was, you know, in session. Church service was going on. There were some lost people there. I just wonder if when we disappeared, would there be potholes in the ceiling? I don't know if there'd be holes in the ceiling or not. But I will say this. If the Antichrist wants my suit, he can have it. Yeah. If he can have those few dollars in the, he can have them. Yeah. Yeah. I won't need them, amen. Where I'm going, I'll be kicking up gold dust. Yeah. The very thing that men are killing for and cheating for today is where we're going to walk on, amen. So then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now, please understand something. I want to stop there. I'm just plowing a little ground right now. He says about, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Well, I read and understand that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back to set up his kingdom in this world. Well, does that mean that I'm coming back? Absolutely. I'm coming back with him. Amen. And you won't like this, but years ago, I was watching DeWhite, some preacher on television, Pentecostal, and he was preaching on the second coming of Christ and talking about that white horse. And the Bible teaches all of us that are there will have a white horse to come back on. Well, DeWhite said he got so close that the Lord looked over at him and said, DeWhite, get off my horse. You got your own. I tell you what. When it comes back, I'm not going to worry about riding his horse. I'm going to ride mine. Amen? Yeah. I will say this real quickly. When we built our new auditorium years ago, we finally put up a sign out in front and had someone make it of brick. Well, the guys that was doing it was not believing in the premillennial view. And on my sign, it said independent, fundamental, premillennial. He got about half done with it, and he said, where you want your hitching post at? I said, right over there. I want to tell you, I believe the Bible is real. I believe it means what it says and says what it means. Amen. So I'm thankful to know Jesus is coming back. I look at that, and he says at the end, to meet the Lord in there, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I know folks that are not comforted by these words. They're scared about it. But I'm comforted to know that the Lord loves me enough that he died for me on Calvary, rose from the grave, lived 40 days and ascended back into heaven, and is coming back after me. Amen. I'm thankful for that. I want you to notice in Acts chapter 1, we look at that and we see that the Lord was getting ready to ascend. And he had told the disciples what was going on. He told them that he was going to die. And they need not worry about that, but he was coming back. They didn't understand it. They're a whole lot like us Baptists today. We don't understand everything. But I want you to notice what he said. Which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? Again, this same Jesus. Yes. He said that ye, which ye taken up into heaven, so shall come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Yeah. Well, how did he leave? He left visibly. Sure. Amen? Yeah. It wasn't a ghost. It wasn't mystical. He left visibly. Right. Amen. I'm glad I'll see him come back visibly. Amen. I'm glad that Jesus is coming back after me. But they still didn't quite understand that. But I like what he said in John 14. He said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms." No, he didn't say that. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Amen. I'm not looking for a room. I'm not looking for a shanty on the back 40. I'm looking for a mansion. Amen. He said, "I go to prepare a place for you." Now, some folks don't understand that, and they believe some different things than what I do. I believe he was talking about Calvary. He said, "I'm going to go prepare a place for you." He was going to die, prepare a place that I might get to heaven. Amen. He said, "But I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," what? "I will come again." I'm thankful he promised me that. I can lay my head down with comfort and say, if I don't wake up anymore, I know where I'm going. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may go also. So I look at that, and then in Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, he says, "He which is testify these things saith, surely I come quickly." Are you ready? Now I believe he's knocking at the door. I believe that he's, ready to come in. He's ready to come back after us, and we need to be ready. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I'm thankful for that. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 says, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers." Boy, there's getting more and more all the time. I mean to tell you, around Muncie in the last few days, we had a young person killed at Southside, or at the north side Walmart. We had an Elwood policeman killed. Had just killings all over the place. And in Annapolis and the bigger cities are worse than that. I look at that and the last days are going to be scoffers that don't believe. They don't believe in Christ to start with. Most of them don't believe in God, at least the God that we know. Amen. He said, "Here shall come in the days of scoffers, walking after their own lust." They're not walking after what you and I need, they're not walking after what their family needs. They're walking after their own lust. Amen. Humanism, someone's already said that, Brother Red, I believe it was you. Humanism has already set in. It's been in the schools for years. And that's what's happened to our country. I look at that and it says, and say, "Where is the promise of his coming?" Now, if I didn't believe the word of God, and I've been preaching since 74, if I didn't believe the word of God, I could say, "Where is this coming? I've preached it since 1974, and I'm still here." But I want to tell you one thing. I don't care if he don't come today. He may not come tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. But I know he's coming. Amen. I'm thankful that I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus loves me. He died for me, and he's coming back after me. Amen. "For since the fathers fell asleep," some have already died believing in Christ. What's going to happen, preacher? They're going to come up. Amen. I talked about the ceilings in the church. If the rapture was to take place, I wonder about the grave. Wonder what the caretakers at the grave, if they're not, all them potholes be all, well, anyway. All things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. That's really not exactly right. All things don't continue as it was at creation. There's a difference happened when Jesus was born, when Jesus died, when he rose from the grave, and it'll sure change when it comes back. Amen? I'm thankful for that today. Are you listening for the knock at the door? Do you know that he's coming back? I know we're talking to preachers and their wives and kids and other folks, but sometimes we just need to be reassured that we're saved and on our way to heaven. I look at that, and some of the things that I think about when I like to read about the second coming, listen to other preachers preach about the second coming, if they preach it right, you know. I like to know that there's going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a time when the Lord's going to give a shout. And with the trump of the archangel. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we know the old saying, you know, they're going to get a 6-foot head start on us, but we're going to catch them in the air. Forever to be with the Lord. I'm thankful for that. We look at that, and that resurrection is just for the believer. The first resurrection. Amen? Now, some say there's only going to be one resurrection, and that's wrong. I'm going to be part of the first resurrection. Amen? I hope you're not going to be part of the second resurrection. When you go before the great white throne judgment, you need to be saved and know it. So there's going to be a resurrection. I looked at that, and some worry about dying. And then they teach, boy, I may get in trouble here. They teach sleeping in the grave. That's not scriptural. Amen. Oh, my body is going to go back to the grave and go back to the dust of the earth. But praise God, I know where I'm going the moment I die. I'm going to be in the presence of the Lord. Now, if you want to sleep a while in the grave, you go right ahead. I'm moving out on the first load. Amen. I'm thankful for that. But I look at that, and I'm thankful that I know where I'm going. And he's already given us so many times of affirmation that he's coming back. Time and time and time again, he told the disciples. He tried to teach them that he'll come back after them and set his kingdom up. But they didn't understand it, like so many folks today don't understand it. And I'm thankful that there's going to be a resurrection. But in that resurrection, there's really going to be a rescue. Going to rescue me out of this world. I don't know about you. I'll be 76 in November. I'm getting sick and tired of living here. Amen. I'm ready to go. But I know I'll not go till he calls me or comes back after me. My wife and I always prayed that the rapture would take place so we wouldn't be split. But it didn't happen that way. It's God's word. But I'm going to go meet her. Amen. I've got folks. It's already there. You've got folks that's already there. And I'm thankful to know that the believer is going to be reunited. Amen. We're going to be taken out of this world. I just can't hardly stand it anymore. And I guess it's because, and my great-granddaughter, and I love her to death, she just don't understand all things yet. She said, well, Grandpa, said, why are you against this? I said, because the Bible tells them it's wrong. Well, Papa, why are you against this? I said, because the Bible tells me. Listen, it's not my opinion that matters. It's not my ideas, my thoughts. It's what thus and thus saith the word of God. And if it says it's going to be bad in the last days, we can be believing that it's going to be bad. Brother Tim Reynolds is my assistant pastor. And he's been with us about 9 years. Good man. Love him. Love his family. But when he first started coming, I used to make a remark. It's going to get worse before it gets better. And he'd just look at me. And finally he'd come to the idea. He knew now that it is going to get worse before it gets better. Amen? And we can understand that. Now listen. As bad as it is today, if time stands a little while longer, it's going to get worse.
Right.
Amen. Things that are happening now may be mild compared to what they're going to be in five more years. Yeah. I look back 20 years, 25 years, and I think, gee whiz.
Yeah.
I mean, I never seen this before, but it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
And we need to be warned, forewarned, that it's going to get worse so we can prepare for it. That's why we need to pray and study and come together as a church and believers to strengthen one another.
Amen.
So because we can face the crowd. You know, it's easy to go to church on Sunday. Amen? Be a Christian. Ooh, I'm a goody two-shoes. Amen? Well, when you hit the doors on Monday, when you go to work, wherever you may go and start meeting people of the world, it's going to take real strength to be able to face them and be a Christian then. Amen? So that's why we need to pray and study and do what God wants us to do. But not only will there be a rescue, if you will, there's going to be a reunion. I preach about that a lot. And even, please understand this, even before my wife passed, I preached about a reunion. There's going to be people over there that I haven't seen. My great-grandmother was a Christian lady. And I remember as a kid, she would talk to me about church and things. I didn't understand it. Really didn't want to talk to her about it. Where's that brother at?
Yeah.
You know, I didn't understand it. Well, Grandma Murdy, she would come when we moved from Kentucky to Indiana. Grandma Murdy, my mom's mom, would come up, and she'd stay with us a week or two. And she'd get me off into the kitchen and talk to me. Grandma, I don't want to talk to you about this. Well, then she would try to talk to others in the family. They didn't want to hear it at that time. But I'm glad that I had a grandmother that would stand her ground no matter where her family believed it or not. She lived the life that she talked about. And Grandpa did too, but she was the one that was a witness to me. I loved her. She was a good woman. And she was able to convince me about some things. And then when I got saved, she would come to Muncie and we would talk then.
Yeah.
I'd say, yeah, Grandma, I understand. Ma'am, I know what you're talking about. And that's kind of the way it is, I think, when you get saved. Someone said, wow, it just lights up.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something. There's going to be a bigger light one of these days.
Yeah.
Some of you don't know this. Barb may and Brother Randall may and some others, but I've said this in churches all over Indiana about it and every place else. I'm afraid of the dark. I mean, 250 pounds, 6'1", you turn the lights off and I start whimpering. They laughed at me at church because I was all right if somebody's in the room or whatever with me. When Judy passed, they said, your electric bill is going to go sky high because you're going to have the lights on all the time. Well, that's not exactly true yet. But I got to thinking about it. Another reason I like to go to heaven, because Jesus is going to be the light of that world. Amen? Amen? And it'll never be dark there. Hallelujah. It's dark in this world during the daylight.
Yeah.
I'm thankful that when I get there, it's going to be lit up by Jesus. Amen?
Yes,
let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and thanking you for this privilege and this honor of being able to meet together here. And thank you for your word. Thank you for the promises that you've given us. And Father, we ask that you just touch hearts and use it in a mighty way. In Christ's name, amen.